Golf Smarter number 88 for August 21, 2007.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Teacher, writer, broadcaster, and big sister, Tina Mickelson.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and a special hello to Sam Rupp and his friend and playing partner, Fred Heaney, who also listens to the Golf Smarter podcast. They play Iowa's Mount Pleasant Golf and Country Club at 5:30 in the morning before work. Absolutely the best time if you manage getting up that early, he says. And you know, Sam, there really is something special about being first off the tee and seeing the sunrise over a fairway. I do love that. Thanks to those of you who continue to send your emails about your favorite course and your playing partners who also listen to the Golf Smarter podcast. Please keep them coming, and I'll be happy to open the show with a shout-out to all of you. Today's show features a conversation with Tina Mickelson, PGA Class A teaching professional. You've probably seen her on the Golf Channel or on CBS doing color commentary on LPGA tours, but she also comes from a golf family with a couple of brothers you may have heard of, too. Our conversation will focus on the mental game and strategy, and don't miss a single word because Tina has a very important invitation to Golf Smarter listeners. I'll give you a hint. We're having a Golf Smarter party, and you're urged to attend. We'll keep it at that for right now. Kenny Nicholson of Edwin Watts Golf will review the new Ping G10 driver and announce the winner of the Speed Stick Training Aid. Hey, you don't have a lot of time left to take advantage of the exclusive offer from Bobby Kelly, golf fitness trainer. Bobby has produced a 3-DVD set for golfers that covers core, flexibility, balance, and strength. The DVD is called Building Your A-Game, and it sells for $97, but Golf Smarter listeners can purchase it for only $69. Go to buildingyouragame.com for details. Act now, because this discount expires on September 4th, 2007. That's buildingyouragame.com. Welcome, Tina.
Hi, Fred. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, and it's really great to have a woman back on the show again, and I'm glad it's you.
Thank you, so am I.
you're big time for us. You know, you come from a golf family. I mean, you've got two siblings, and you're all three involved with golf professionally, but in different levels. How's that happen?
Well, I think the underlying common factor that we have is golf. However, there are three very, very different avenues in the golf industry. One is a PGA Tour player. My other brother is the head golf coach for the University of San Diego. And then I am an instructor for the PGA and for various media outlets. And so growing up, our father supported us and did everything he could to provide the game of golf to us, but he never pushed us. And so we had friends who had to practice so many hours a day and had to do this and had to do that before they could even start their homework. For us, it was the reverse. We couldn't go to the golf course or do anything golf-related until we got our chores done and our homework done. And if we didn't get it done, withholding golf was a punishment. And so you really wanted to play and you wanted to practice because that was kind of your thing. You were what you were interested in. It wasn't pushed on us. So we all three were able to develop our own passion for the game and able to develop our interest in whatever area of golf we chose. We weren't directed into one certain area. You know, we didn't have the father who says, I'm trying to groom the next Tiger Woods. I cringe every time I hear that because it's not about what the child wants. It's what the parent wants. And we were lucky enough to have a parent who was really interested in what we wanted. And so we did, you know, every child is different, obviously, and all three of us kids are very different in our interests. However, we still have that underlying common factor, which is golf. And we owe it all to our parents, who just supported whatever we wanted to do. And if we didn't want to be involved with golf, that would have been okay too. And so it just allowed us to develop our own individual interest in the game.
Fabulous. And kudos to your dad and your mom for that. That's really great. And it's a huge message. Don't push.
Absolutely.
Let them develop their own interest. What's the age difference of the three of you?
I am the oldest by 16 months.
Oh.
And then my youngest brother is 8 years younger.
Okay. And your middle brother is right in between. So how competitive were the three of you in your play?
Well, my two brothers now are the most competitive.
What's their age difference?
Ever. Their age difference is 7 years.
Okay.
But when you get to in your 30s, 7 years isn't as much as it was when you were 15 and 16. So now they are really competitive, and my younger brother really gives Phil a run for his money when they go play. Phil and I, we've always been competitive, but when we got to be about 13 or 14, it was very clear his ability. And then, you know, he grew and had the power and the length off the tee and all of that. So we kind of changed our competitiveness on the course to when we would go play, he would say, you know, okay, today I think a good round for me would be 69. Okay, great. A good round for me today would be 72. Okay, great. Every shot above 72 I had to give him a dollar. For every stroke under 72 I shot, he gave me a dollar, and same went for him. So there was our competitiveness. We were kind of competing with each other, but it was more against the course and our score. And I think that also helped our mental game as well, because when you're out playing to shoot a certain score or better, it takes a different mental approach than just, I'm playing today hoping to beat my playing partner.
Well, I want to talk about the mental approach. That's really a great way to get there. But there's so many other questions. If you would not have gone into golf, what else would you have done?
I had two interests growing up. One was sports rehab. Some sort of either trainer or some sort of sports rehabilitation, as well as I loved psychology. I just loved it. So whether that was a sports psychologist or some sort of psychoanalyst, it's very intriguing to me the way the brain works and human behavior, what triggers it, why do people react to things the way they do, and things like that, just the human mental element.
And how have you incorporated that into your golf instruction?
Well, I think that when I approach a student, I never forget the fact that everybody is different with their physical approach to the game as well as their mental approach. So I always try to understand, first and foremost, ask a lot of questions when you're dealing with new students. What are you trying to achieve? What are your goals? What are your expectations? And how realistic do you really think those are? Because people can come to you and say, I have unrealistic expectations. I still have them. And so depending on how realistic I feel they are or not, that is how we kind of approach the lesson. And a lot of times people have come to me thinking their expectations are unrealistic when in fact they're very realistic. And that's probably the most fun, is to see people achieve what they would consider to be unrealistic expectations. So it's just, as long as you understand where somebody is coming from mentally and physically, you incorporate that together and you address the lesson accordingly. So if somebody wants to become a scratch golfer but they can only practice once every 2 weeks, I'm going to explain to them why those expectations are a little unrealistic and how we can maybe change our expectations to match what we're able to give towards the game and practice and improvement.
Do people really come to you and say, I only get to practice twice a week and I play once or twice a month and I want to be a scratch golfer?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because I was going to ask you, are there unrealistic expectations? And I would think that would fall under the category or be at the top of the list.
Right. Or they'll come and say, I want to swing like Phil or Tiger or whatever, and they might be 5'2", and, you know, just they don't have the body makeup to swing like that. Or maybe, you know, you have body swingers and arm swingers. You might have an arm swinger that comes to you that says, I want to swing like this person, and they're more of a body swinger. And it's just, it's not feasible to change their natural swing. Everybody has their own natural ability, and sometimes they try to swim upstream by completely changing their approach. Now, sometimes it's not the worst thing because what they came to you with really wasn't working, but that's very rare. Many times people think their swing is much worse than it actually is, and you make a little correction here or you change their address or their setup or where they're aimed. And with the same swing, all of a sudden they're hitting it great. So a lot of times, players will try to change their swing, thinking there's something wrong there, before they look at their grip, stance, or setup, or just the initial takeaway. And like I said, in many cases, their swing is a lot better than they give themselves credit for. That's in 99% of the cases that I find. And that's the one thing I think I would like to change or have some sort of impact on, is to let people know you're not as bad as you think you are, and your swing is a lot better than you might think, and give them a little more confidence. And obviously when you get a little more confidence, you start playing better.
Let me step back a second. Can you please define what is a body swinger and what is an arm swinger, and if there are other types as well, can you define those?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm really curious about this.
Sure. Well, you have like Tiger Woods is, I would say, a pretty good combination of the two. He puts his whole body into it and his arms as well. Someone like a Vijay Singh is more of, I would say, a body swinger. He has more, he basically swings more with his body than maybe a Jack Nicklaus, who swings a little bit more with his arms. Does that make sense? So if you can visualize those swings, mm-hmm. You have somebody who a body swinger is somebody who uses, I would say, more lower body and upper body together. Arm swinger is where you have a little quieter lower body, but you're able to generate club head speed because your arms, and you're using the smaller muscles in your arms to turn that club over. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And is there one preferred over the other, or is it really all about your own personal style?
Well, I personally believe it's all about your personal style because, like I said, you're going to be swimming upstream. If you are naturally an arm swinger, and you've been swinging like this your whole life, and this is what's comfortable to you, and now you're going to try to be a body swinger, it's very difficult to do. Now, for those players on tour who want to take, you know, they need to keep getting their game to the next level, sometimes you have to make a very difficult swing change. We've heard a lot of players out there who have said, I don't expect to win a tournament in the next year. I've made a major change, and I know that in the long run it's going to pay off, and we see it paying off. Phil did that in 2003, and everybody got on him, oh, what's wrong with Phil? Where'd Phil go? Well, he made a very major swing change, and he's not one to make excuses, so he's not going to, you know, not that there's anything wrong with saying, I've made a swing change and I don't expect to win for a while. Okay, that's great. That's not what Phil does. He just kind of works on it. And then once he's made the swing change and comes out with the better swing, then he'll say, yeah, this is what I was working on last year. And as we all know, he did that. He had a very disappointing finish to the 2003 season, but it wasn't unexpected. And then he came out and won the Masters in 2004. All of 2003 was leading up to the Masters 2004. He would play golf courses. He would play tournaments, where golf courses were set up unlike Augusta, but he would still practice the same shots he thought he would need to use at Augusta. So the course didn't set up for his shot approach, but he wasn't worried about the outcome of this tournament. He was worried about the Masters. So this is kind of all an explanation as to approach to the game, what our expectations can be, and what when to know that you need to make a difficult swing change, and when to know, you know what, this is working for me, I just need to fine-tune it.
Would you consider Furyk body or arm swinger?
Oh, that's a good that's a good question. I think it's
His own category all by himself.
I would say so, and he's an excellent. I see a lot of arms in his swing, obviously, but there's a lot going on in the body as well. But he's an excellent example of when we say it doesn't really matter as much what's going on throughout the swing, except for 2 to 3 feet before impact and 2 to 3 feet after impact. Now, good positions at the top and good takeaways on plane and all of that help you set up for the club face being square at impact and coming in at the right plane and angle. However, people like Jim Furyk show that you can be what we might consider to be out of position in certain areas of the swing. But as long as you're getting it back to square, he's doing something right. So it's I would not constitute Jim Furyk's swing as wrong or bad by any means. I personally wouldn't teach it, but if somebody came to me that had a swing like his, I wouldn't try to change them either. I would help them work with what they have.
That's awesome, because I went to a 3-day golf academy, and the instructor, who was a woman, really wanted me to make some significant changes, and I went with it. I drank the Kool-Aid on that one. But what I quickly realized is, after our 3 days of instruction, a week later, I had a lot of questions about it, and I couldn't go back to her.
Right. Right. That, I'm sure that the changes she was asking you to make were very valid.
And, yes, they were.
And great. That is just the difficulty in, finding a good instructor. And she sounds very good. I'm just saying, when you make a major swing change, that is important to keep in mind. You will have questions, or you will maybe overcorrect, and you're going to need to know that you can go back to that same person time and again and have them look at your swing knowing, okay, 4 months ago you were doing this, now you're doing this, and here's why. And that brings up a good point. When you are searching for a good golf instructor, this is like an interview process, really. And there's a lot of good instructors out there who might not communicate in the same way that you process information. So even though everything they're telling you is absolutely spot on and correct, it might not register with you just because their communication technique is different than what you understand. So you might go to another instructor and they tell you the exact same thing, but it registers a lot clearer. And I've had a lot of people come to me and say, oh my gosh, you're the first person who's told me that. I said, no, I don't think so. I think I've just happened to say it in a different way that you're picking up on the meaning. Because they'll say, yeah, my last instructor told me to do this. I said, well, that's exactly what I'm telling you to do. It's just in a different way. So having said that, when you're looking for a good golf instructor, don't book a series of lessons right off the bat. Go to one lesson, and then go try somebody else, and I would even suggest to go try a third and see which one resonates best with you. Then you go back and sign up for your 6-lesson series or whatever offer they might have at the time. But I've heard so many people say, yeah, I signed up for a series of lessons, and I got through 2 of them, and I don't think I'm going to go back. So, well, then why did you sign up for a series of 6 before you knew you really communicated well with that instructor? And many times it's not the knowledge or what swing changes they're trying to help you with. It's more in the way that they're communicating.
And when somebody's going to make a commitment like that, I know for me, because of the price of golf, the way it is these days, my spare change is not going to instruction. I want to go out and play golf. But I've been thinking a lot about that lately, is maybe I should make a commitment to go see an instructor on an ongoing basis. What would you suggest would be, I don't know, is the word minimum amount of lessons to take, or amount of time to commit to this?
Well, it depends on what you're trying to achieve. If you just want somebody to make sure that you're not falling into any bad habits, or, I have a problem of coming across the ball at impact, and I just want to see if there's a way to fix that, that's not the hardest change in the world to make, and it might only take one or two lessons. It depends how much time you're able to devote to practice as well. Let's say you want to make a major swing change, or you are a 5 handicap and you want to get down to scratch in a year and a half. That's going to take some dedication and some ongoing work, not just with your full swing, but with your short game, bunker play, chipping, putting, and course management. So it really depends on what you're trying to achieve, and it depends how much you're able to practice. If you're not able to practice more than once a week, I wouldn't recommend taking a lesson once a week. I would recommend every other week after you're able to practice and see if you have any questions on your swing change or what's going on. So when you ask for a minimum, I would start off with one lesson and ask that golf professional after they can assess where your skill level is, and when they can get a good understanding of what your expectations are and what your goals are. They'll be able to say, okay, this is what you want to achieve, and here's where you are. It's going to take X amount of lessons, X amount of time of practice tee, and X amount of playing to get here. Let's get started, or, let's maybe reassess those goals.
I have to imagine that the bulk of my audience, because of the bulk of golfers, would love to be able to be a 5 handicap hoping to get to scratch in a year and a half. I can't imagine that most of them are. I do believe that a lot of the people who might be listening at this point would be in their 20s on the handicap and would love to be in the teens. Is a year and a half an unreal expectation to get there, or should they feel like they could get there faster?
I think if you've got a 20 to 30 handicap and you want to get down into the teens, that is, you'll see a difference a lot faster than if you're a 5 trying to get to scratch, because 5 trying to get to scratch, there are so many intricate little things. It's harder to shave off a stroke or two strokes, three strokes, when you're shooting 75, 76, getting down to 70, than it is when you're shooting 95, trying to break 90. So a lot of times, I'll have students who have not broken 90 yet, and I'll tell them, when you do break 90, you're not going to shoot 89. You're going to most likely shoot 86, 87, 88. Because a lot of times what it is just that one blow-up hole. You're minimizing that one or two blow-up holes, and there's four or five strokes right there. Or you are getting better at your course management, or you're getting rid of that one terrible shot that you can't seem to help, like hooking it out of bounds off the tee. Let's say you're doing that four or five times around, and now all of a sudden your swing is better and you're not duck hooking it out of bounds three, four, five times around. There's three, four, five strokes right there. So, or more than that, actually. So if you're in your 20s trying to get into your teens in terms of your handicap, a lot of times all it takes is just playing smarter, or taking one lesson and figuring out that one swing flaw that you need to practice in order to help you be a little more consistent off the tee. Or, and here's one of the most common sense pieces of advice I've ever given, but probably the most helpful. I have so many people saying, I keep coming up short. I can't get my irons to the green. I'm always coming up short. Well, here's a thought. Take an extra club. It's not that difficult. Who says you have to hit a 7-iron 160 yards? It doesn't matter how you get to the green. And a lot of people gauge their distance on their potential. If I hit this 7-iron just perfectly, it should go 160 yards. Well, you're not always going to hit it perfectly, and more often than not, you're not going to hit it perfectly. So take a 6 and swing just a little easier. What that does is not only gets your timing and your tempo better, you're more likely to hit the ball on the middle of the club face, and you're going to get good solid contact, and the ball will go as far as you want it to. Now, you always need to see what's going on around the green. If there's trouble behind the green, you're going to want to stick with your 7-iron. If there's trouble in front, you're definitely going to want to take your 6, maybe a 5. Swing easy. So always assess what's going on around your approach shot and where you hit away from the trouble. However, just be smart about your game. And I see a lot of players out there who really get their ego gets the better of them. And if they could just put their ego aside and just play the game and play it smart and play the way you would play if nobody else was around, I think they'll see a big difference in their score.
Thank you for 3 times getting golf smarter in there. We appreciate that, because that is the ultimate message on this, is golf smarter. I mean, eliminating the blow-up holes is so huge. I had a round recently that I didn't even feel I was hitting the ball that well, except I only had one triple on the whole round.
Right.
And so I was in the upper 80s on a course that I'm never in the upper 80s. I'm always in the 90s. And I looked back at my scorecard and was like, whoa, I only had like 2 or 3 doubles and 1 triple. And my goal when I go out is play bogey golf, limit the doubles, and eliminate the triples. That's
right.
That's what I tell myself. And when I achieve that, I'm ecstatic. I mean, it doesn't always happen. So, yeah, golf smarter.
I agree. And do you happen to remember what how you did on the hole before and the hole after that triple?
Yeah, I think I did pretty well. I think I parred one of them and bogeyed the other.
That's huge. That's a huge step in the right direction, because you hear a lot of people say, oh my gosh, I went double, triple, double. Mm. And it's very easy to get out of your comfort zone, you know, when you get that triple bogey and now you're thinking of your score and now your round is ruined and all of this nonsense. And you're thinking about that when you're on the tee of the next hole.
Mm-hmm.
Or just before your blow-up hole, you might have hit a couple bad shots and now your confidence is a little bit rattled. And it's very important to be able to get out of that and to keep in mind that each shot is its own shot. So the last shot, if you hooked it out of bounds, that is not going to affect what you're doing on this particular shot. You still have control over what you're doing now. And let go of what you don't have control over. And this doesn't just go for blow-up holes. This goes for birdie holes also.
Yeah.
Because
the curse of the birdie.
Yes. And when you are playing well, or you just birdied a hole or 2 holes in a row, it's the same thing. You're out of your comfort zone. You have a comfort zone, and you can be above it or below it. But when you're out of the comfort zone, whether you're playing well or not, you're still out of your comfort zone.
Well, I think I have the advantage. I get to talk to people like you on a regular basis, so it really helps. I think I was channeling Dr. Joe Parent at that time.
There you go.
You know,
because
I've interviewed Joe a number of times, and I hear him, and I've read his books, and I hear him saying, "Just stay in the moment."
Yes.
right?
Yes.
You've worked with Joe.
Oh, yes. He's wonderful. We did a, we were on a panel together at a golf seminar for a few days, and he's, I really like his approach to not only the mental game, but each individual student, and he just really, even his voice is so conducive to what he's teaching, just very calm and very, like you said, stay in the moment, and he helps players understand it's not worth it to get all worked up, and here are my tools to help me not get worked up.
I got to imagine you guys would work well together.
Yes, we really have, because he has, we kind of have the same approach to life as well as golf. And when we approach the game of golf, our approach is it's exactly that. It's a game. And we want to help people enjoy the great game of golf as much as they can. And you hear some players say, you know, they get so angry out there or so upset. And, yeah. And I'll say, well, why do you keep playing? Well, it's that one shot. Well,
the drive on 18.
Right, exactly. Or that one shot they'll never forget. And my point is, but you're out there 4.5 hours, and it takes about maybe a second and a half to swing the club, and then a few seconds after that to enjoy your shot. Are you telling me that you're out there 4.5 hours just for that one period of a few seconds of enjoyment?
Of course.
But doesn't that seem like quite a waste of time? Couldn't you be spending your time so much better?
It's the quest. It's the journey.
It is, but if you don't enjoy the journey, what's the point?
But what journey do you enjoy when you're searching for nirvana in some form? You're out there looking for something, and you find it, even for the brief moment, that's what lasts. You don't remember pain.
No, it's about the journey. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. It's not about that shot. It's not about the score. It's about the journey. Just like, you know,
we're getting biblical here.
not to get all generalized, but they say life is a journey. It's not about the destination, because the destination is death.
Right.
That's what you get.
Birth
at the
is
end.
A beginning. Life, death is the destination.
Right.
And life is the journey.
So if you keep that in mind in the game of golf, you're playing 18 holes, and this is your journey. I think people would enjoy the game so much more if they could actually enjoy the journey, and then once you get that destination, you break 80, you break 90, you have that one sweet shot that you'll never forget. It makes it even better, but you're not so focused on the end result. Right. And in this seminar that I worked with Dr. Joe Parent on.
And
we then
we're talking about Joe Parent of Zen Golf and Zen Putting, who's been on, just to make sure everyone understands.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful author, mental coach, everything. We worked together on this seminar, and who was also there was Dr. Deepak Chopra, and I've worked with him on a number of projects as well. And he will always say, you need to detach yourself from the outcome. If the more detached you are from the outcome, the sooner your desired outcome will come to you.
Wow.
And so I'm not trying to get all scientific here or metaphysical, but it makes a lot of sense. And I saw this in 2004 at the Masters when the whole week was different. And I've never seen Phil more detached from an outcome. And I'm not to say he was aloof and did not care. He was not thinking about the end result. He was thinking about the swing change he had made and how much progress he had made in his game. And he was enjoying that on every shot.
Wow.
And you saw that on Sunday when he was, what was he? He was 2 or 3 down to Ernie when he was on the 13th tee. And there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that did not matter. And I know for a fact he wasn't thinking about it. He was thinking about his shots. I remember a tournament official came up to us and said, okay, if there's a tie, the playoff will go to this hole, then this hole, and this hole, just so you know and you're prepared. And I remember thinking, it doesn't matter. There's not going to be a playoff. And there was just something in his demeanor and in his face that I knew he's not thinking about that. He's thinking about what he's doing right here and right now, and that's going to really pay off in the long run. So whether it's winning the Masters on Sunday or whether it's trying to break 90, it's not about the outcome. It's about the journey leading up to the outcome.
Thank you.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah, but thanks for straightening me out. So now I understand that you and Joe have another project coming up together. Can you invite me?
Yes.
Can I watch?
Absolutely.
I would love to take lessons from you guys.
You are more than welcome to join us.
Tell me.
It's called Zen Golf Cruise.
And a cruise?
Yes.
Where's it going?
It's going to Hawaii. You fly to Hawaii, and then we will cruise around the islands playing golf in all the beautiful destinations. So
how long is it going to last?
It's a week cruise, and it is in November, and which is actually the best time to be in Hawaii. So it's November 3rd through the 10th, and it's just a beautiful time. I don't know that there's ever not a beautiful time over in Hawaii, but this is probably one of their best months to go visit.
Really?
And it's just, it's going to be a week of just golf and I would not constitute it as a golf school. It is going to be a lot of instruction.
Good.
However, it's also just the best way to approach the game. A lot of seminars at night, questions and answers, and playing beautiful golf courses, golf management, mental approach. It's an all-encompassing golf week.
Can we make it a Golf Smarter party?
There you go. Okay.
We get little umbrellas in our drinks and everything. I think, how about if we do this? Let's invite every Golf Smarter listener. It's a cruise ship. There's plenty of room, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So let's invite every Golf Smarter listener to join us.
Okay.
And I'll go too. So I'll go out there and play golf with you guys, and, oh, God, I have to meet people. no, I would love to do this. I would love. I'll be wearing a bag over my head so no one could see me because they don't want to. That's the whole point. I have a face for radio. But I will come out there, and you and Joe Parent will be there, and every Golf Smarter listener. So why don't you go to zengolfcruise.com, right?
Yes.
And sign up or find out more information. And I will, after our interview, I'll get off the phone and I'm going to talk to Joe Parent and make sure that we get a discount for Golf Smarter listeners.
Okay.
I think we can do that. I hope we can. I'm sure we can do that. I'm positive about that. So
he's the one to talk to, that's for sure.
Okay. But let's make it this November in Hawaii, a Golf Smarter party on the Zen Golf Cruise.
And, you know, the groups that we have had come out for these seminars we've done and golf schools, it's just such a nice group of people.
And we all have a common interest.
Yes.
We all want to talk about golf all the time.
Yes. And it's a common interest, and it's also a common passion. And it's just a lot of fun to share that with people that you've just met, because it feels like you've known these people forever. So it's not really about, oh, we're going on a cruise with some of our friends and we're going to play golf. You're actually joining a larger party, but everybody kind of becomes part of your little group, and you get to know people that you feel like you've known forever, and you build friendships that really last your whole life.
Awesome. Well, I'm very serious about making a party out of this.
I am too.
With our group of people, because I think it would be just, it's actually kind of crazy, because when I first started doing Golf Smarter and the audience started to build, I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool to have a cruise and, you know, do lessons and go play golf and hit the spas and oh my gosh, it's coming to fruition here. So let's this November get together. We'll have Golf Smarter hats for everybody. Just ask me one question, I'll give you a hat. And we'll go together in this November on the Golf Smarter cruise in Hawaii, because people from Australia and Japan, we can meet in the middle there, and people from the Midwest and the West Coast and the East who've never been to Hawaii, those people can come. I think this is going to be such a blast.
It's something we are really
looking forward to.
I know.
I want to do this. I want to go back to Hawaii. I haven't been in a while, but I want to go there and play golf, and I want to meet new friends.
Well, let's count on it.
I want to meet you, too.
I want to meet you in person as well.
Do you know why? Because I made a list of about 9 or 10 topics to discuss.
Right.
And I check them off as we go on. Two checks are on my page here. Will you come back and join us on Golf Smarter again?
I would love to.
Because I know you're on CBS. I know you're on the Golf Channel, and we're just a lonely little podcast here out in the ethernet of the world. But I would love to have you come back and talk about women's golf.
Sure.
And teaching philosophies and junior golf.
I'd be happy to.
Or we can just discuss this on the Zen Golf Cruise.
We can do that as well.
Okay, fine. So zengolfcruise.com. Tina Mickelson, I really appreciate your openness and your honesty about your family. I didn't want to go there, but I appreciate you doing that. And your insights and instruction have been phenomenal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Golf Smarter now presents Nick's Picks with Kenny Nicholson, sales manager for edwinwattsgolf.com. Kenny keeps us up to date with reviews of new products and new product development. Nick's Picks is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey, Fred. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I hope you're doing well as well as well as well.
Yeah, well as well, Fred. Well, everything's hot and peachy here in Florida.
Hey, last time we talked, you said that you were going to go and try out some new Ping product. Did you?
I did live up to my word, Fred.
I
did go out there and hit the products and fell in love with them, actually.
Oh, really? Well, you're a Ping player. You've always liked Ping.
I'll be honest with you. I'm biased with a lot of Ping products because I've played their irons for a long time. That doesn't mean that I've played their wedges and drivers and things like that, but I have always been a fan of Ping. Yes, that's correct.
Well, if I also remember correctly, the very first review you did on the Golf Smarter podcast was the Ping Rapture driver.
Correct, which I did like very much.
Yeah, so tell us, what is going on? What did you find out, and what did you think?
Well, I hit all of the products, and I liked all of them, and that's not just a biased opinion. I mean, anytime they come out with a new product, they're obviously going to be better than what they had in the past. That being said, we don't have time to review every single product. We'd be here for a long time. We can save some of those for another show, but the one that I did want to touch on was the G10 driver, because there's so much driver talk out there. There's so much technology change in drivers and things that are going on in the driver market. I wanted to touch on their driver a little bit. And what you find with a lot of manufacturers, you know, you have the higher moment of inertia, that the higher COR, you know, the movable weight technology. There's a lot of things out there in drivers that what a lot of manufacturers want to do is visually be able to tell their story to you. To the consumer. And what I mean by that is if they make a change on a golf club, if you can see it in a visual aspect, you'll understand it a little bit better sometimes. And I think they do that in part some as a selling factor. You know, it might help sell the product for some people. Hey, look, this thing has movable weight technology. Hey, this one has slide weight technology. Hey, this is a square head, and so on and so forth. And with Ping, what they did is they stuck with what their brand is all about, and that's tradition, in my opinion. They kept a very traditional-looking driver. Does that mean that it doesn't have all the bells and whistles that some of these other drivers have out there? Absolutely not. They have strategically placed the weights inside the club head to increase the moment of inertia, to give you a more stable golf club on off-center hits. The way that they did the crown and face and sole design, they were able to move the center of gravity low and deep in the club head, which gives you a higher launch, lower spin driver. So basically, you have what everybody else has out there. You don't have the movable weight technology, but do you need that? It has the higher moment of inertia. That's the one thing you need to be conscious of, because not everybody's going to hit it in the center of the club head every time. It's just not going to happen. So, and what I found in testing the product was that I don't, and the chances are you don't, and the listener probably doesn't take the same swing with a driver that they take with an 8-iron. Why is that? Because I want to see it go a long way. Well, you know, I don't want to be the short knocker in my group. So, and with this club, I was able to not have to adjust anything in my swing. You know, I was able to get up over the golf ball and just take a grip it and rip it approach. And I hit the ball extremely consistent with it, had a great launch, low spin. I mean, I was just blowing it out there and just fell in love with it. The sound is one thing that I always am attracted to in a driver. You know, if something has a real high-pitched sound, I tend to not gravitate to it so much, where some people translate sound into explosion or hitting the ball a long way. So it had a great sound to it, had a great feel to it. They have a ton of different shafts you can choose from, a multitude of lofts that you can choose from to get fitted for the right golf club. And just fell in love with it. And I'll say this: we had a couple of different reps out there on the same day. We were testing their, you know, some different products and everything. And the other one I like very much as well. And he was hitting the other manufacturer's products, and was falling in love with it as well. I mean, it was very fun to be out there and testing products against different manufacturers, and had a real good time doing it. But Ping, without a doubt, their new driver, the G10, is a home run.
I'm curious, when you're out there testing stuff, they clearly know that you're just not a consumer out there. You're representing the consumer. Do they wine and dine you? Do they put you in a classroom and give you a full explanation of what they're trying to accomplish with this new product line?
Yeah, we here as a company, we require the manufacturers to come in here and not just say, hey, look, we got a new driver. It has a higher MOI, you know, maximum core and lower center of gravity with, you know, higher launch, low spin. And that's the bottom. That's the end of the story. We require them to come in and tell us a story about the golf club so we can speak intelligently about it to the consumer. And without them doing that, you know, we're at a loss, because with the internet out there, the consumer does a lot of research when they're buying a golf club. So they kind of know what they're looking for, and they know what the advantages in that golf club are. So you have to be able to tell that story to the consumer, and we require the manufacturer. So what we do is we have them come in, and we do different, basically seminars throughout the day for all of our sales guys, where they come in and they give you a shell of a golf club, basically. They show you the inner workings of the golf club, where the weight's positioned, you know, how much the weights, gram weights they use inside the golf club. How does that help with the performance of the golf club? What does it do on off-center hits? You know, they give you a schematic of what, you know, what the launch angles are, what the spin rates are, the different shafts that are available, the links, just tons of information that we need to be able to speak intelligently about it. And then what we do is we typically, you know, let our guys go out to the driving range where they can test this product. Because can you imagine, you know, a guy calling up and saying, hey, you know, what do you think about the new Ping G10 driver? Well, I've never hit it, but they tell me it's a great golf club. I mean, most people want to talk to somebody that has actually, you know, driven a car or they've actually hit a golf club.
Oh, absolutely.
So they can speak intelligently about it.
Yeah, I mean, you want firsthand experience. I know that when I've talked to salespeople about, hey, what's your experience with this? Well, I've never tried it, but they tell, yeah, it's like, okay, move on. Let me talk to somebody who has.
Yeah, and that's correct here. You have to be able to put the golf club in your hand so you can tell the person, hey, this is what I thought about it. Because we have guys that are 30 handicaps, and we have guys that are scratch. And they all test the same products. And it's, you know, everyone has their own story about how it works for them. And what you find is with a lot of the manufacturers is common ground. They make a driver for each. That's going to be able to fit your game and your golf swing. So And the guys love to do this. I promise you, when we do demo days for all the guys or myself, I get pretty pumped up about it. You know, I know I'm going to go out there. I'm going to get on a launch monitor. I'm going to hit new products. You know, one of the first people to get out there and test it and see what it's all about and see if it fits all the hype. And not everyone does. You know, there's a lot of clubs that I hit, and it's just not the right club for me. But, you know, one of the other guys might hit it and just fall in love with it. So, I mean, it's fun. They take care of us as far as whining and dining us. It doesn't get go that far, but they do know that when we come out there that we are selling their products. So it's in our hands, and they want to take care of us and make sure that we're hitting the right product. You know, they don't want to take, one of the guys that has a 82 mile an hour swing speed and put him in an 8.5 degree stiff shaft driver because it's not going to perform well with him. They're going to fit him, make sure that he's in the right product, and then let him test it that way.
Oh, that makes sense. You and I had the opportunity to spend a long time talking with John K. Solheim, who's Vice President of Engineering at Ping for the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast. And if you haven't had a chance to hear that yet, please go back 2 episodes on hybrids with John K. Solheim. But Kenny and I, we had this great opportunity to speak with him. Kenny, did that give you a better understanding of the products they were showing off? Did you feel more knowledgeable because of that conversation?
I did. I think the overwhelming part of that conversation was just hearing that Ping has 47 engineers on, you know, with their company that design products, you know, bags, whatever it is. I mean, that's an awful lot of people, and they pull together resources when they're making new products. And to hear the story from an engineering aspect about why they do stuff, you know, why it has to be done a certain way to be able to conform to USGA rules and to be able to get that maximum allowable MOI or CG or whatever you need, you know, they're at a limitation. If you can imagine, you know, you have a square box and it can only be so big, and then, you know, somebody tells you, okay, Fred, do the best you can with this golf club year in and year out, make changes to it. And these guys have to come up with new concepts every single year to be able to, you know, keep product flowing and keep product current and moving in the marketplace. And what they're able to do is phenomenal. And it, you have a better appreciation when you talk to engineers or developers of golf clubs about what they're trying to do. And then they translate that to the golf club itself. And you go out there and test it and hit it, and you see why they do certain things. That part of my job is really, really cool, I have to be honest.
Yes, it is very cool. I'm glad to hear that they put everybody on a launch monitor first and they fit the club for the person before they let them swing the new product. Would you recommend this new Ping G10 driver for everybody?
I would absolutely recommend it to anybody's game because, you know, no matter what type skill level player you are, they have a driver that's going to fit you. The main thing is, you know, can every consumer go out there and fit themselves? It's difficult to do most of the time. If you have the opportunity to, and we stress this, if you have the opportunity to get on a launch monitor, that's utopia. I mean, that's what you really need. But if not, you need to speak to somebody that can give you an educated assessment as to what you need. You know, if the kick point in the shaft is too low for you and you're hitting the ball too high, is it a golf club aspect? No, it's probably not. It's probably a shaft variation that you need to make.
Wow.
You know, so there's certain things that you need to be fitted into that's going to make the golf club work good for you. And believe it or not, their reps, you know, before they even put you on a monitor, they want to try to get an educated guess as to where you need to be. And I have to be honest with you, these guys are so schooled in what they do and have such an understanding of the golf club and the golf swing that the majority of the time, the club that they pull out of the bag and say, hey, let's test this one, they test you in that one, and then they try a couple of different ones. The majority of the time, the one that they first fit you with is the one that fits you the best.
Wow. Wow. What's the price point on that driver?
The price point is $299.
So it's right in the marketplace with everybody else, right?
It is.
And is it available yet?
It's available 9-1. That's why I wanted to go ahead and talk about it now, because it's going to be available in just a couple of weeks. We are taking pre-orders for them now.
Wow. Very cool.
And it's going to be a hot driver.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime Ping comes out with a new product, people get very excited about it because, the you know, just the name Ping, have it in your bag, people, their eyebrows go up like, ooh, you're playing Ping. So there's a dedication to your game when you have Ping in your bag.
There definitely is.
Awesome. Thanks for the review, man.
Not a problem. Enjoyed it. Yeah. Enjoyed doing it.
Great. Hey, you know what? We have been talking about giving away the Speed Stick training aid. And I find it fascinating what people enter for and what they don't enter for. I mean, there are people who want to enter for everything, and I appreciate that, and we're glad that you're listening and you're trying. But this is the kind of thing people want. A training aid like this from Speed Stick, they've been wanting. And we're going to give it away now. We received 273 entries over a two-week period. And a lot of new people joining us on that. Thank you very much. And if you're new to this, join the frustration with everybody else. I take all these names. I sort them alphabetically by first name. And, yeah, I'm going to do it by first name. I get emails going, come on, Fred, that's not fair. Why not? Why isn't it fair? I don't know any other fair way to do it. I don't want to do it by state, that's for sure, because we get a lot of people from out of the country, out of the U.S., who are submitting entries as well. And please, one entry per email address. That's all I'm going to say about that. Kenny, you are the one who gets to choose. You didn't know anything about this. You only knew that we had 273 entries because I just told you. And you get to pick a number between 1 and 273, and that winner will be number?
Oh, that's a lot of numbers. Okay, how about 54?
Okay, number 54 lives in the United States. He lives in Tennessee. He is from Robbins, Tennessee. And his name is Daniel Story.
Congratulations.
Daniel Story, you have just won a Speed Stick training aid, which is going to do what for him, Kenny?
It's going to increase swing speed.
There you go. That's all you need to know. Congratulations, Daniel. That's great. And now we have to announce that we're going to do another giveaway. Let's keep it coming. What are we going to give away next?
And we're going to do a product review on this before the giveaway, and that's okay. Why I want to give it away. We're going to do a Bobby Jones hybrid. Jesse Ortiz, who used to be with Orlamar back in their heyday, he develops their golf clubs for them, and I think it's a phenomenal product. And somebody's going to be happy to receive this, I promise.
All right, so a Bobby Jones hybrid. I'm sure that there's a multitude of lofts that you can choose from, and shafts, and right or left-handed, correct?
That is correct.
Awesome. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to give everyone a chance to win this, and in a couple weeks you'll do a review of this Bobby Jones hybrid. So we're going to go 3 weeks with this drawing. And that means that the deadline for entries will be September 10th, 2007. And we will draw the name and announce the winner on September 11th. So please get your entries in. And all you have to do to get your entry in is go to golfsmarterpodcast.com. Click on the word contest just below the Edwin Watts Golf banner. Once you're there, fill out your shipping information and the verification code. Click submit and you are now entered. And please, one entry per email address. The contest page makes it a lot easier for us. We used to do it via email. This makes it easier for you and for us as well. Thanks so much for your help, Kenny. Thanks for giving away a product. Thanks for reviewing a product. And we will talk to you again because you got to go answer some phones, don't you?
Absolutely, I do. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it, Fred.
Yeah, did too, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Okay, and be well. I've been asking you for email lately and feedback on additional golf podcasts and truly appreciate what you've been providing me. But I'm really curious what you'd like to hear from smarterpodcasts.com. Now, there's no rules here. Tell me what you'd be interested in. Is a golf podcast a good idea? Is there some other topic you'd like us to cover? And what about Golf Smarter? Is it too long? How about a second version of Golf Smarter that's just the highlights of the conversation? A short version. What about a podcast dedicated to Kenny answering your questions? Would you like a podcast that is more of a magazine format with multiple guests on each show, like a segment on Zen Golf, a segment on fitness, a segment on betting, a segment on rules, a segment, whatever you like? I'd love to hear what you have to think. Any input is valuable as we continue to develop smarterpodcasts.com and our portfolio of content. The best way for us to deliver stuff you'll listen to is for us to listen to you. Of course, we'd love you to go to smarterpodcasts.com and check out our programs and get your input. Again, smarterpodcasts.com. This week's quote is submitted by Mark Norman of Jacksonville, Alabama, who will receive Golf's newest product, Windage, branded with the Golf Smarter logo. Based on my experience, Windage will bring a smile to the rest of your playing partners and will quickly and easily reveal wind patterns. It's very cool. Check them out at playthewind.com. Now, Mark says his golfing father consistently tried to get him to slow down his swing and not kill the ball. Sound familiar? Luckily for Mark, it worked, but now he's having the same issue with his son, who, like many of us, tries to swing too hard. Mark's dad used to say to him, and here's our quote, "There's a reason we paid a lot of money for that club, so how about just letting the club do its job?" If you have any questions, comments, quotes, or requests, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarterpodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Joanne Green of SmarterPodcasts.com, where we have a growing roster of podcasts. For golfers, listen to Golf Smarter and Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Good Dog is for dog lovers everywhere.
Here's another Radio
Baseball. Baseball Cards is a collection of stories told by the greatest players of the 20th century. And Smarter Cancer Care offers compassionate help for cancer patients and their circle of support. Please check us out at smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.